Last Wednesday, Governor Rick Snyder ordered a review of how Michigan delivers mental health services. Commissions, headed by Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, will focus on how to close the gap for people who need help but who end up in jail instead, and several other issues as well. For a bit more perspective, here's the governor just over a month ago in his State of the State address.
We started investing in that, and we've done some good work with mental health courts. But the issue is we should be doing more to help people before they show up before a judge. So what I'm saying is we need to work together in partnership. We'll put additional budget resources towards, but we need to partner on coming up with great demonstration projects on how to engage mental health issues more effectively, get communities more involved, create more public-private partnerships, and take care of people that deserve better attention that will benefit all of us.
Bob Sheehan is Executive Director of Community Mental Health in Lansing. CMH serves Ingham, Eaton, and Clinton counties, and we wanted to get his perspective on this review. Good morning, Bob.
Morning, Mark.
How do you feel about this state review, then?
I think it's a good idea. Whenever we can heighten the dialogue around mental health issues, it's a good thing for all of us.
But is it overdue in some respect? I mean, is there enough that needs work that now is especially appropriate time?
You know, I think it is overdue. Some of the issues the governor's raised and others have been around for 30 years. We've been raising them for 30 years, that you have a strong system in Michigan, but there are some significant gaps, and they aren't new gaps. I think the public is thinking maybe the gaps have shown up in the last year or two. Isn't so. We've been trying to close these gaps for 30 years.
What are we doing that's working? You said that Michigan really doesn't do that badly in some mm-hmm. metrics, and the governor's wild about metrics.
Mm-hmm.
What does Michigan do well? What resources do we have that are promising?
Sure. I think there's three areas where Michigan stands out across the country. First, in the term of clinical practices, we use more evidence-based practices than most states, meaning research-based treatment methods. Michigan's been pioneering about a dozen of them. Strong clinical training, strong measurements of treatment methods that actually work. Secondly, we have the most advanced financing system. Michigan's running what's called third-generation managed care, meaning they finance the CMH system for all the folks in the region, not per person, but across the region, and it's kept the cost low. The costs have risen by only 2% a year for the last 15 years. That's pretty amazing. And third is it's the most community-based and client-centered system in the country. We were the first state in the country to pass a person-centered planning law, meaning by law, a client has to be involved intimately in their treatment planning. That isn't true nationwide. And it's mostly community-based. Over 60% of our services are in clients' homes, schools, or workplaces. Those are pretty astounding figures.
Now, if the state embarks on a really candid review from 10 miles up of how this system is working and where we need to make improvements, is it apparent to you, as somebody who's been in this business for a long time, is it apparent to you what they're likely to find?
You know, it is. So let me just go through a list of things that they might find. They'll find that people without very severe needs can't get care. If you don't have health insurance, or even if you do have health insurance tends to be either public or private, insufficient. So if you're not insured, or if you have a weak medical insurance policy, you're going to get very poor care until you're severely impaired. And that's how the law is written. The law actually protects the severely impaired. Thank goodness it does, but it leaves a large swath of Michigan citizens without care at all until they become more severely in need. I know they're going to point that out, and they should point that out. Secondly, they're going to point out that even if you're severely impaired, the tension between treatment, voluntary treatment, and mandated treatment is always a tough one. And so civil liberties and health care get mixed up together. They're not easy to untangle. For example, the mental health courts are a good beginning to say, how do we mix civil liberties, the correction system, and mental health in a way that actually gets people better? And I think that's what they're going to find.
Tell us about those mental health courts a little bit more. How prevalent are they in Michigan?
There aren't very many of them, less than a dozen in Michigan, but it's a great idea. It's the idea that if someone comes before the court and it's clear that the genesis of the issue is a mental health concern, that treatment will be mandated and woven in. The term of art that I use is more called the treatment court. How do we treat a wide range of things? Substance abuse, domestic violence, mental health.
Veterans issues.
Veterans issues.
Here in East Lansing.
Yep.
Yeah.
A veterans court is a treatment court, right. Right, where the judge and his or her staff and the mental health staff are all on the same team. They're working to move it forward.
One major goal of the review, according to the administration, is to identify how exactly people end up in prison instead of in programs that could treat their illnesses. And you read about this more than anything. Is this as common as we are led to believe?
You know, yes and no. Sure, there's a lot of untreated mental health conditions that lead to criminal behavior, you bet. But our experience has been the opposite as well, that a lot of other conditions get people in jail. Poverty, parenting skills, the gang you hang around with, and then mental health conditions fester there. I mean, the prison isn't a great place to be. And so if you were to survey you and I, in fact, in a prison setting, we would show a diagnosis that are pretty severe. And so it's never been clear to us that mental illness leads to criminalization all the time. It's actually a two-arrowed direction where criminal involvement sometimes leads to, incarceration, which is not great for someone's mental health. So it's really a mixed bag, Mark.
Your purview at CMH is the Tri-County area. Talk to us about Ingham, Eaton, and Clinton counties' particular challenges from your perspective.
Sure, sure. I think over the last 40 years, we've really run a community-based system. We used to have over 1,000 people in the Tri-County area in state hospitals. We now have 7. That's over 40 years. It's quite a change.
And that changed in the early 90s, like 20 years or so ago?
From the 70s. So almost 50 years, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. The math that I help people see, our budget serves about 10,000 people a year. That same budget would only be able to serve 300 people in state hospitals. So a 33-fold increase in the number of people we can serve because it's community-based. Same size budget. Community-based care is our watchword. The newest trend for us is integration. So we have therapists and psychiatrists at 9 community health clinics in town, mostly serving the poor, but kids and adults both. We have a twice-a-month primary care clinic at our building serving our clients because a lot of our clients don't have access to primary care, to physician care. And in April, it'll open up to be a full-service clinic. So we're really looking forward to that.
Do challenges vary much from region to region in Michigan? I mean, do you face challenges in the Lansing area that they may not face up north or anything like that?
So that's a great question. I think there are conditions that are distinct to an urban area, but I think underlying a lot of those disparate challenges is disparate funding. The funding levels across Michigan are incredibly different. Some parts of the state per capita get funding 3 times higher than other parts of the state. And unfortunately, the Tri-County area is at the bottom half of that.
Now, how is that? How does that play out?
It's historic funding based on where the Appropriations Committee chair lived, based on where state hospital was located. The state's working to correct that, but it's been a problem for 40 years. And so I think the state's trying to move towards it over the next several years. We look forward to that. But until that's solved, you're going to have disparate treatment throughout the state.
Now, is that likely to come up in this review in any way?
We sure hope so. It's very delicate because, you're talking about finances. And these days, finances is not a popular topic, but we hope it will come up.
But there needs to be a leveling out of that revenue.
Exactly, because it shouldn't matter where you live in Michigan. Your treatment should be the same.
Yeah. Services vary a great deal then obviously.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. Governor Snyder said last month that discussions on school safety shouldn't focus on guns but on mental health care instead. What did you take from that?
We would agree. There was a time where our CMH center had staff in every high school and middle school in Lansing with a federal grant that ended 10 years ago. That really brought the violence down in the schools. It improved truancy rates. It improved academic performance. It improved parental involvement. All the right stuff. We know it does that. Mm-hmm. And that was a relatively cheap. It was one therapist per building, in fact. But the difference that you could do to take the edge off a kid's life and improve their lives was dramatic.
How do you deal with, we alluded to the Veterans Court in East Lansing a few minutes ago. Give me your take on veterans' challenges and to the extent to which CMH deals with that.
I think vets bring a unique set of challenges. You know, by and large, the vets are a healthy lot. I got to tell you that. I mean, sometimes we're not careful to say that, but vets are strong, healthy, bright, you know, et cetera. But sometimes the impact of war is significant and sometimes hidden. You know, we all know about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. A lot of vets come home with it and won't admit it. A lot of vets don't know they have Veterans Administration benefits. We deal with lots of vets who have been getting treatment from us for years, not accessing VA. They don't know about it. I think thirdly for vets is a lot of them, when they went into the service and came back without skills that the market appreciates. So employment is tough for vets. Housing is tough for vets. Primary care is tough for vets. So they have some challenges that are unique to a veteran status. I would say, though, those challenges are no different than the public as a whole. And so if we can improve mental health access for everybody, vets will benefit. I am concerned a little bit about people trying to solve the vet problem and not solving the vet's neighbor's problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Governor Rick Snyder has ordered a review of how Michigan delivers mental health services. We'll have to keep an eye on this. It's going to be interesting. Joining us today, Bob Sheehan, Executive Director of Community Mental Health of Lansing. Thanks very much, Bob.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.